Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
We're doing this deep dive on Matthew 7 and unpacking this because Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 preaches the most famous sermon that has ever been preached on the Sermon of the Mount. It's where we get the Beatitudes. It's where we get the blessed are they that do this. And I love that because God says there's a blessing attached to obedience. And when you do this, he said, here's the corresponding promise that follows that obedience. And then we go to chapter 6, and there's so many truths that Jesus keeps laying out. But I settled on chapter 7 because we've got a lot of new believers and new followers of Christ that you need to know the correct way to follow Jesus. How many of you know there's a right way and a wrong way to do anything? And so by you being here on a Wednesday night, I think it's important to you and it's important to me that we do things the right way, that we follow Jesus the right way. And so there's seven things that Jesus lays out, and it's almost rapid fire that Jesus is dealing with these issues of life. Issues that were issues 2,000 years ago, and we still find them issues in our lives today. And so the first thing he talks about in chapter 7 is he said, do not judge others. And just to catch everybody up real quick, we always talk about don't judge and only God can judge me, which is true. But the Bible says in Corinthians that the Spirit in us judges everything. And so when Jesus said, don't judge others lest you be judged, he said, don't make judgments on people after your flesh. Don't let your flesh decide don't let your flesh decide the good or the bad in other people. Let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. It's called discernment. We'll get back to there in just a minute. Then he talks about effective prayer. The number two thing he says is he said, when you ask, you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. He said, those of you that do these things the correct way, he said, you will always receive what you ask for. That's effective prayer. Then we talked about the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. This is something that we need to hold dear to our heart because it's not just the other believers. It's the people that hate you. That's why Jesus would say to turn the other cheek. That's why he would say, pray for those that come against you. Bless those that despitefully use you. And then last week we talked about the narrow gate. The Bible says in chapter 7, it says the highway to hell is wide and many go. But he said, narrow is the road and narrow is the gate and few that find it. And it is the gate for eternal life, the kingdom of God. But tonight we're going to talk about the fifth thing that Jesus said, discerning the tree and the fruit. And for those of you that maybe missed a Wednesday here in the last few weeks since this year started, for free, you can go on any of the platforms, the major platforms, and listen to the podcast. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, let's jump into this. This is Jesus talking. He said, beware of false prophets. Somebody say false prophets. Somebody say, uh-oh. How many of you have ever heard a false prophet? How many of you have ever seen a false prophet? How many of you have ever had to rebuke a false prophet? Whether in their face or privately. Jesus is talking to followers and he said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. He said, false prophets will never come looking like a wolf. They're always going to disguise themselves as one of the sheep so that you get your guard down and then they can mess up or speak into your life. So when he says, beware of false prophets, one translation, Jesus said, watch out. Another translation said, look out. These are all warnings. And I think if it was true 2,000 years ago, church, it is true today in February of 2024. That there are people that the enemy is sending into your life that might talk about Jesus like you. They might even attend the same Bible study or church that you do. And the Bible says to watch out for false prophets. Now check this out. All false prophets aren't demon possessed. As Bishop likes to say, a lot of them are well-meaning but misguided. Some of them might have the last name that you have. Some of them might have been coming to church 10 times longer than you have. Some of them might have been a member of the church 4 times longer than you have. False prophets come in all shapes and sizes. I've come to learn this, church, that sometimes I find a false prophet in the mirror. Sometimes my flesh is a false prophet. Sometimes what I feel is a false prophet. As a pastor, I would not be worth my weight in salt if I did not warn people of what a life without Jesus means for people's now and for people's eternity. A pastor should point people towards Jesus, but it is a pastor's job, and Bishop does this, and I do this on a fairly regular basis, that we have to examine what is going on within the four walls of this community and this church to make sure that everybody in here that is speaking into your life literally has your best and your future at heart and not meaning and not being used by the adversary to get you out of the will of God. So what are you looking for? We're looking, we're on the watch for false prophets, yes. However, let's break down what a prophet is. In the Old Testament, a prophet is a seer. It is one that can see past now. If I can encourage you, and I've already taken the first 3 or 4 minutes to tell you to be wary of people that come to you disguised as a sheep but are really wolves. But can I encourage you, you need people in your life that can see past today. You need faith-filled, spirit-filled people, mentors, and accountability in your life that are not your pastor on Sunday, that can say, I know what you feel on Thursday, but let me remind you what God's word said about you. Let me remind you what his promises are for you and what you said God told you. Sometimes you need that prophet to be able to see past what it looks like today. A prophet sees. A prophet is a mouthpiece for God. A prophet hears the word of the Lord, declares the word of the Lord. So to be a prophet or to have a prophet speak into your life, church, you have to have faith that that man or woman hears from God. Here's the thing that I really want to help a new believer with tonight. You don't have to have a prophet if you hear God for yourself. Prophets were sent in the Old Testament to point to Jesus and to point that the Messiah is coming and one greater than I is coming. And I'm not saying that God can't use a man or a woman to speak into your life, but I do know this, that most of the men and women I know that call themselves a prophet and title themselves, they are no such thing. The prophets that have spoken into my life are just great, faith-filled men and women that God uses to confirm things that God is speaking into my life. And so a prophet declares what they have heard from God. And by hearing what has been declared, the hearer, us, we now have the opportunity to obey now what we hear so that we can walk into and receive the next that God has promised. I think a lot of times in my life, I can speak from personal experience that God sends people into my life to speak to me sometimes when I've fallen asleep or I've become apathetic or lethargic and I've gotten comfortable and God is speaking to me, but I'm not hearing him like I used to. I'm not jumping to obedience like I used to. Can anybody attest that sometimes your flesh gets that way a little bit? And so sometimes God has to send a brother or a sister to remind me of what God has spoken into my life. So if that's what a prophet is someone who sees what God is going to do and what God has promised, is a mouthpiece to say what God is saying, then a prophet, a false prophet, is someone who says what God never said. Or a false prophet is someone who says when God never said. There are so many people that speak for God that don't know God. There are so many people that speak for God and then want to tell you what God said about you, not knowing that you have a relationship with God. You talk to Jesus every day. These lines of communication, church, are open. And anything that you're going to say, prophet or prophetess, is going to confirm what God has already told me in my private time, in my devotion with him, or in my time in his word. Can I encourage you that one of the greatest greatest things that you can do as an affront to God is not say Jesus Christ when you forget your wallet or slam your finger in the door. One of the ways that you take God's name in vain, and the worst way for you to do it, is to say God said when God didn't say. I've been pastoring since I was 18 years old in some form or some fashion, assistant pastor, associate pastor, youth pastor, men's pastor, now lead and senior pastor. And I'm going to tell you, since 18 to 42, what is that, 24 years, God has never told me what you should give. Except when we watch Christian television, that's all it seems to be. God told me, what do we read out of Psalm 138? Everybody today is supposed to give $138. Isn't it funny that it's always the high numbers? God never spoke to them in Psalm 1. We laugh, but it's true. I've been in those services. Jeremiah 29, everybody needs to give, somebody needs to give 2,900. There's 10 that are going to give 290, and there's 100 that are going to give. It's funny that Psalm 1 is never when God speaks about money. False prophets. Parking lot prophets. They're showing you tricks. They might as well be called Miss Cleo and get a 900 number. The gifts of God are not for sale. Just because you give the most money at Living Way doesn't mean that God hears your prayers any more than he hears the prayer of the person that dropped in 3 pennies today and said, God, that's about all I can give today because that's all I have today. So false prophets say what God never said. It's called manipulation, church. We don't want to manipulate you. We want to encourage you. We don't ever want to put pressure on you to do something out of flesh, because we can say things when we have a microphone in our hand. And one of the prayers I pray before I come out to preach every time I preach, whether it's here next door or somewhere around the United States, is I say, God, make sure that everything that I say out of my mouth is from you. And if it's from me, God, let those words fall to the floor. But every word that comes from you, let it pierce hearts, let it pierce spirits, let it encourage, let it do something in somebody. I don't want to manipulate people. I've already talked about it, but a false prophet, church, it can be your family, it can be a coworker, it can be somebody at church, it can be your environment, your flesh. That is why we need the Holy Spirit in 2024 more than we ever have, to judge all things and to show us the real person or the real situation. Church, do you know that you and I can get so filled with the Holy Ghost when you see somebody walking up to you 100 feet away, the Holy Spirit can say, you need to get away from that person as quick as you can. Or you need to get in relationship with that person, because I'm going to use that person to shape you. I'm going to use that person to make you and pull some things that I placed in you out of you. So it shows us the real person. You know why you need the Holy Spirit, church? Because sometimes the devil does not show up with a pitchfork, with pointy ears and a long red tail. Sometimes he shows up baying like a lamb. Sometimes it's a three-piece suit. Sometimes he can quote scripture better than you. Sometimes he doesn't show up looking like an evil spirit. Sometimes he shows up as a wolf dressed like a lamb. And then sometimes he shows up as a defeated devil dressed up like a lion. Oh, you missed that. The Holy Spirit allows me to look past the sheep fleece and to say, that's just the devil and one of his tired tricks that's trying to mess with my family, trying to mess with my ministry, trying to mess with my money, but I see through it all. But the Holy Spirit also says, hey, that lion that's roaring around, that ain't the lion from the tribe of Judah. That's the enemy that's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The reason you and I need the Holy Ghost is sometimes he shows up like a lamb, sometimes he shows up like a lion, and you need to be able to tell, is this Jesus, the lion from the tribe of Judah, or is this a lion who is acting, a lion who is not what he seems to be? That's what the Holy Spirit does. The devil dresses like a lamb to deceive you, but the devil dresses like a lion to devour you. You need to figure it out tomorrow morning when you leave your house, whether he's out to deceive or devour you that day, because that's going to tell you how to fight. Sometimes it's tricks by changing the word of God. Sometimes it's tricks by sending people that you trust into your life to just say something from their flesh and not from their faith that is going to alter your course and alter your destiny. And so sometimes you got to look. He's out to deceive me today. But sometimes he's not out to deceive you. He's out to kill you. He is out to devour and rob and steal and take everything that God has from you. However, let me remind you today, church, that the devil is, he still is, he is right now still defeated. He is under our feet, praise God. He does not have a leg to stand on. God has taken him out. He is a defeated foe. Everything he does is counterfeit. Everything he does is fake and foe. And he's hoping he knows the word more than you know the word. He's hoping you and I haven't tapped into the authority that God died to give us. But I am here to remind you in the place today that what Jesus said is listen, you've got a faith and you've got a favor that comes walking with God and walking after Jesus that will change your life. Verse 16, after Jesus says, beware, watch out, he says, you can identify them by their fruit. Remember, the same Jesus that said, don't judge, is now saying, make a judgment on their fruit. But again, it's not us, it's the Spirit. You can identify any person by what fruit they produce. Then he goes on to say, that is by the way they act. I don't care about what you say as much as how you act. Because we've all heard it growing up, actions speak louder than words. A picture is worth a thousand words. What is in front of us, the action, what we see has a greater impact than just what we hear. He said, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Then Jesus asked this question, and I love this because it's such a simple question. He says, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Some of us keep getting stuck by thorns, and we keep reaching into the thorn bush. You're never going to find that diamond. You're never going to find, listen, it's hard to find a good man that's clubbing every Saturday. It's hard to find a good man that ain't working, don't have a job. Why you keep looking for something good in something bad? That's not how it works. They say fools rush in. Oh, fools do rush in, but the real big fools, they rush in and stay there. This is what I found to be true in my 42 years, church. Time tells on us all. What does that mean? Fake only lasts so long. True colors will eventually show. Two things that will tell you about a person: what they do when they have everything, what they do when they have nothing. What they do when times are good, what they do when times are terrible. I don't need to know where you are when everything's a 5 or 6. I need to know where you are when it's a 0 in your life or you've had the best month of your life. I know people that only come to church when everything is bad. But when God turns everything around, they disappear 6 months. And like the prodigal son, they waste all of their living on riotous living. And they go do their own thing. But then they come back almost like clockwork. I come 6 months to get filled up, and it takes me 6 months to come back to my senses after the devil steals everything, because I thought a sheep was a sheep and the sheep was a lion or a wolf. Time tells on us all. Fake only lasts so long. Can I talk to the person that just started dating somebody and I know you think they're awesome? If they're not awesome after 1 week, you need to run. Everybody should be able to fake it for at least a week. The real good ones can fake it for 6 months. You ever know somebody for a long time and then you see them melt down, cuss everybody out? I mean, just lose their stuff and you're just like, what? And that is not the person I know. No, that's the real person. That's the real person. And eventually all of that venom is going to be directed at you. That's a word for somebody. True colors will eventually show. I love this. Write this down. Take a picture of the wall. Time allows us, church, to decipher whether you produced the fruit or bought the fruit. Did you produce it or buy it? Or steal it? I need you to take me to the tree. I need you to take me to the garden. I know you got it sitting on your counter. And I know you can be like, look at this fruit. I got some wisdom too. Look at this fruit. I got some joy. I got some peace. Anybody that has a few dollars can go to HEB and buy some fruit. I need you to take me to the orchard, take me to the tree, take me to the garden and say, no, this is where I produced it. I literally make and create this stuff. Verse 17, this seems so simple, but what Jesus says is so profound. Verse 17, the Bible says a good tree produces good fruit. Should we expect anything different? A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. Here's a word for somebody, simple but profound. Quit looking for good fruit on bad trees. Quit looking for good fruit in the desert. You don't go to the Sahara Desert looking for fruit. You go to the Midwest, you go down to Florida and those citrus valleys that produce all kinds of great. Listen, there are so many of us that are frustrated because we are finding it difficult to find what God has promised, but we are not looking where those things come from. Verse 18, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. He said, cannot. Not sometimes it does. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. You know, one of my pet peeves, and it breaks my heart, but it's a pet peeve of mine. You see some knucklehead kill somebody in cold blood murder, and then you see mom and dad on the news. He was such a sweet boy. No, he wasn't. He's a murderer. He faked you out the 30 minutes you saw him every day. Can I tell you, church, you can't fake God out. We can come in here and know every lyric. We can come in here and lift our hands. We can come in here and serve. We can come in here and do all of those things. But God knows what kind of tree we are by the fruit we produce. He knows if we buy it, steal it, or produce it. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Such a simple but powerful revelation. He says it here in Matthew 7, verse 17 and 18. But Jesus said it all the way back in Genesis 1. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So here's the thing, church. When looking at people and looking at the fruit in their life, the difference between bought fruit and produced fruit is, for me to produce it, I had to have it, because that's who I am, a good tree that will produce good fruit. Can I encourage you, if you need apples, don't plant lemon trees. If you need peaches, don't plant pear trees. If you need wisdom, let's talk about wisdom. Sow. Be that thing that you need God to produce in your life. James chapter 3, verse 10, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Some of us are a little too salty, and what comes out of our mouth doesn't match who we are. And we become bad testimonies. We become bad representatives for Jesus Christ. I cringe at the Grammys, and I cringe when these ball players are dropping F-bombs all over the field. And we hear and see them get caught up in scandal after scandal after scandal. But they have the nerve to say, when that mic is in front of them, I give God all the glory. How about you quit giving him the glory and let him change your story? Because what you are doing is not matching who you are, which means I know you bought that fruit. You didn't produce it. Verse 19. So every tree This is Jesus now. This is not the church board. This is not deacons, elders, or pastors, or bishops. This is Jesus. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is patted on the back and said it'll be okay, you're doing your best. That's what woke Jesus would say. But the real Jesus says, every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. I love this point when I talk about the pruning and throwing into the fire. You're going to get burned either way. You might as well go into a refining fire that produces pure gold, praise God, and leaves what you should be and leaves what God wants to do. I want to go through the refining fire, not the destroying fire. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to light a bunch of brush piles on our property on fire. I want everything in those brush piles gone. I don't put anything in those brush piles that won't burn, but every once in a while, something makes it through or something makes it pop. And after everything's burnt, it is still there. Can I encourage you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, pray, God, refine me with the Holy Ghost and fire. That way, he don't have to burn you after he chops you down. Verse 20, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so can you identify people by their actions. Real quick, I want to step into this real quick. Number 6, and we'll get to number 7 next week. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is a very difficult thing to preach. It's a very difficult thing to hear, but it's straight from the word of God, and Jesus says it. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Number 6 thing that he talks about is true disciples. If there's true disciples, there's false disciples. If there's disciples that follow Jesus the right way, then there's disciples that follow Jesus the wrong way. There are a lot of false religions that use the word disciple. They actually talk about Jesus. You and they are not the same. We are Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians that believe the beginning of the Bible, Genesis all the way through Revelation. There is no other Bible. There is no extra books. There is no other prophets. They didn't come to America. All of that nonsense that you hear, that is false religion and will damn you straight to hell. What we believe is that Jesus is the Son of God. He declares him as such. All God, all man, came to this earth as a baby in a manger, lived a perfect life, was tested at every point that we are, tempted at every point that we are, but said no because we needed a perfect sacrifice, not a yearly sacrifice. And he went to the cross as a lamb dumb to the slaughter, took our place. But I love what happened when he took our place. He bled for us and kicked out the back door of the grave, went down to hell, kicked the mess out of the devil for 3 days, got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. 3 days after kicking his tail all over hell, he comes out the front door of the grave. It's called resurrection. Lived and walked on this earth, ascended into heaven, and he said, I go there now to prepare a place for you. And you want me to go prepare a place for you, because if I leave, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. That's the gospel that Jesus said. Just because you know my name and title doesn't mean you get in. Said there are those that will say, Lord, Lord. But everyone who calls out, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. I know us preachers like to use some semantics, and we like to make ourselves look a lot smarter than we really are. But the Bible says the gospel is so simple that a wayfaring man can find it. There's a lot of people who accidentally found Jesus because they got hooked on drugs but found a deliverer. He said, this is what Jesus said. Man, this is tough. Only those who doers are hearers first. So he said, it's not just what you say, Lord, Lord. He said, I need to make sure that your hands follow your mouth, that your life follows your mouth. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Even Jesus does not identify people by what they say only, but by rather what they do. Only the doers, church, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Which leads me to this point, and I'll be done in 90 seconds. Real faith will always have a corresponding action. Don't tell me you have faith. Show me you have faith. Don't tell me everything he's done. Show me what he's done. I can point to miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in this room today. In my family and in my friends and in our leadership and in people in this room. I can testify. I can tell you, but I can show you miracle after miracle. It's not just what you say. Faith that speaks is one thing, but faith that produces fruit is entirely something else. What must we do? The will of the Father. Verse 22. On judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. Let me pause this. Stand on your feet because I'll preach this. I'm sitting down. I'll preach this all night long. Check this out. Jesus said that a lot of people will say, Lord, Lord. And so analytical Brandon would look at this text and say, well, of course you'd say no to them because they're just believers by word, not by deed. He breaks it down even further. He said there are some that will just say, Lord, Lord, but there are some that will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesy. We laid hands on people and cast out demons. We performed many miracles in your name. He said, everybody that's working for me ain't gonna make it to heaven. There are hundreds of churches that don't cast out devils, that don't heal the sick, that don't prophesy, that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Jesus said, there are some people that do all of that and still aren't going to make it. Verse 23. But I will reply, this is Jesus, I never knew you. Get away from me, those who break God's law. I never knew you means I never had a relationship with you. You worked for me. You were an employee, but we were never in relationship. You served, but we were never in a relationship. Hear the voice and the heart of this pastor. I want you to keep running the camera. I want you to keep greeting. I want you to keep running the wall. I want you to keep teaching. I want you to do all of those things. But if you are doing those things and don't have a relationship with Jesus, I give you permission to resign tonight and concentrate on your relationship with Jesus. Because the last thing I want you to do is get to heaven and say, I was a member of Living Way for 25 years or 30 years, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and I sung on the team, and I played the instrument. But Jesus said, yeah, you did all of those things, but you and I never knew each other. Now, I will say that you can grow that relationship and continue to serve. But if you're at a place where you can only choose one, resign today and dig into Jesus. Sit on this front row with a pad and pen and write down everything that God tells you. Worship like your life depends on it, because it does. Develop a prayer life. Hit these altars every time they're open. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, I will say I never knew you. Depart from me. Get away from me. You didn't do God's word. You didn't do God's will. But we are not those people, praise God. When we hit those pearly gates, what are we going to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I knew you and you knew me.